Father, we just thank you for all that you've done so far today in this gathering. Just the expressions of worship that were offered up, God, and your presence that we were able to experience, the expression through the intercession that set the tone for what we're experiencing now. And we thank you for your word. Father, I thank you that you are thinking through my mind and speaking through my lips. And I declare that this word will come forth unhindered, unchecked by any outside force. And I covenant in advance to give Jesus, you, all the glory, the honor, and the praise for the fruit that will come forth from this word. I thank you for signs. I thank you for wonders. I thank you for the miracles happening as a result of this word. I thank you for divine intervention, because enough is enough. I thank you for the new places in you that we will experience as a result of what you are speaking today. I thank you that we are in alignment with you, with all you are doing in the body of Christ, not just in this house, but your entire body, the ecclesia, the church. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Let me start my timer because I already know I feel something. Jesus, I feel something. 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 I know some experienced saints will say, I feel Jesus. I feel something. I feel something. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And so two things that I know God is speaking right now. Let me know if I'm walking too far, Val, because I don't want to have you to have to do anything. And so two things I know God is speaking right now in the entire body of Christ. One, he's talking about the end times. He's talking about end time prophecy as is being fulfilled before our eyes. He's talking about why we must be careful and discerning of socialism, of Islamification, and other antichrist agendas. And so he's speaking about that from the perspective of intercession, evangelism, and walking in authority. Now, I'm not going to get in that today. That's a whole nother series. But I would tell you stuff that he told me 20 years ago, I'm seeing fulfilled right now. And the other thing that he's talking about is the person of Holy Spirit. Coming into this year, when God spoke to this house that this is a year of divine intervention, say divine intervention, because enough is enough. One of the other things that the Lord told me is that with that, we talked about how it is a year of the expressed glory. Say expressed glory. So in this time of expressed glory, it is the Lord expressing himself in powerful ways. It is a time of Holy Spirit manifestation, demonstration, disruption, and interruption along with the intervention. And so as God was talking to me about that as well, he said that many people are trying to find and discover and walk out the blueprint without a deeper relationship with the architect. And so we must have a deeper relationship with Holy Spirit, because I believe we're in a time where it's a necessity. It's not a luxury. We don't have the luxury of doing something our own way or making our own decisions or doing something without seeking the counsel of the Lord. And so we are in this space where we have to seek counsel on things that we might not have used to have to seek counsel on. We may have to ask about what store should I go to? What food should I purchase or not purchase? Which way should I drive or go to work right now? Because we are in a space where things are extremely different. And so because of that, we have to know Holy Spirit. Now, one of the things that I sense prophetically is coming upon the earth is a strong deception, a strong delusion, and illusion. Now, delusion refers to a false belief or judgment about external reality. So there's a strong false belief, judgment, or decision going to come about what's really happening in reality. We see that now with fake news. We also see that with AI saying that, imitating people and saying something they didn't say. We see that now happening. It's going to increase. It also refers to a false belief or judgment about the external reality that's held despite inconvertible or whatever that other word is, held despite of evidence to the contrary. Despite of evidence of something being real, they still are holding to a false image and a false belief, a false delusion. We see that now what Tucker Carlson was on talking about, Islamists love Jesus when the Jesus depicted in the Quran is not the Jesus of the scripture. And so now, and I'm trying not to go there because I don't want nobody to mess up our our stuff, because some stuff you got to teach when you're not streaming. But there's also coming illusion. An illusion refers to a false perception, also belief, misleading impression of reality. So people can be under an illusion and believe something and almost attach their faith to something that's not even accurate. So in this space, we have to say, Holy Spirit, help me to know you more. Help me to know you better. I don't want to just know you based on what other people have said. I have to know you because you walk with me. And we have to remember that Holy Spirit is not a feeling. I know in some traditions, they'll say, I felt the Holy Ghost. Yeah, they felt the Holy Ghost, but Holy Spirit is not a feeling. He is not an it. He is a person. And when people say he's the third person of the Trinity, they almost look at him as lesser. But he's not a lesser version. He is an equal version. Some people think that Holy Spirit is the power of God. They will say Holy Spirit is the power of God. He is not the power of God. He manifests the power of God. Holy Spirit cannot be limited to the power that he demonstrates. He cannot be limited to the gifts that are in operation. He is greater than the gifts and the power. He is God himself. To say that he's just the power of God will be to reduce God Almighty to something. And so we have to understand who he is, because he is our helper. He is our, we're going to look at John 14. We might camp there for a little bit. And if you were there on Thursday, we just revisiting, because Pastor Deborah got you there already. And so in John 14, we're going to look at what Jesus said about Holy Spirit. Now, a lot of people doctrinally would say that we are the ministry of the Holy Spirit started in the book of Acts, which I understand that explanation, because in the book of Acts, on the day of Pentecost, Holy Spirit came. And that started him being prevalent in the earth. But his ministry didn't start then, because in Genesis 1 and 1, it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and it was without void. It was formless and void. And it says the Spirit of God was moving across the deep. He's there in the beginning. So he is prominent now for specific reasons. So in John 14, verse 16, and I'm reading from the New American Standard, Jesus says, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. Key word there, when we study that, is another. Where there are a lot of key words, but one of them is another. Jesus said, I'm going to give you another, meaning just as Jesus is to the disciples, or just as he was to the disciples, Holy Spirit is to us right now. A lot of people are like, oh, I would have loved to walk the earth with Jesus. Well, right now you're walking the earth with Jesus through the person of Holy Spirit. And the things that he told to them, blessed are your eyes that see and your ears that hear, because many prophets long to see and hear those things. He was talking about us too, because we're walking with Holy Spirit. And there are things we can see and hear that many have longed to see and hear but couldn't because of the blood had not been shed. See, in the Old Testament, Holy Spirit would come upon, and he would leave like he left Saul, which is why David, when he sinned, he said, don't cast me away from your presence and don't take your spirit from me. But when people quote that today, they got to think about the blood of Jesus that has been shed. See, Holy Spirit not only comes upon now, he lives within, and he never leaves, so we don't get cast away from his presence. We get pulled closer to his presence. If you make a mistake, you don't run from God, you run to God. So he said, I'm going to give you another helper. That word helper is the Greek word paraclete, which refers to one called alongside to help, meaning Holy Spirit comes alongside of you to help you fulfill the assignment that he's given you. He gave you the assignment because we see in Acts where he says, separate from me Barnabas and Paul for the work I've called them to do. See, we forget the calling from God is also the calling from Holy Spirit. And he comes alongside to help us fulfill the call that he gave us. It also means to comfort. When we are dealing with the trials of life, he is the comforter. He brings comfort to us. He is our advocate. He speaks on our behalf. This is why it seems like the enemy fights tongues. And I feel like once a quarter, I'm online talking about the necessity of praying in tongues. Because Holy Spirit speaks on our behalf when he has a believer praying in a supernatural language. When you pray in a supernatural language, you're not talking to men, you're talking to God. And when you're talking to God, Holy Spirit is praying the perfect, flawless prayer according to the will of God, not according to our perception of his will. There's a difference between the will of God and the will of God that we perceive. And so when we speak in a supernatural language, he is advocating for us with specific details. It's not guessing. It's not hit or miss. Now, some people would tell you you shouldn't pray in tongues in public and all of that. But let me just tell you, let me dismantle that myth, because I believe now we should be praying in the spirit more than we pray in our natural language. Stuff is jumping off too quick. There are people bombing, threatening to bomb, thinking about bombing, plotting on bombing. We need to be praying. Because if you try to pray for all of that in your understanding, you're going to be praying for 10 hours and still might not hit it. Some people look at Corinthians and it talks about tongues and an interpreter, and they think that's talking about the personal prayer language. But that has not been taught correctly. That's talking about the gift of tongues. The gift of tongues is when God speaks to you and his people through tongues in a prophetic manner. It's when you prophesy in tongues. And if you're going to be in a gathering and you're going to prophesy in tongues, then the scripture in Corinthians says you must pray that you interpret or have an interpreter, because no one will be edified, meaning no one will be edified by the prophetic word that came forth to strengthen, edify, and comfort or an exhort. But when you're praying in tongues, you're talking to God. And when you're talking to God, you don't need an interpreter because it's between you and him. And when you are in a gathering and you are talking in tongues or singing in tongues, you are leading everyone into talking to God. Because remember, Western culture has tried to make our gatherings be concerts and presentations. But God is not a God of Western culture. He's the God of the kingdom. And so gatherings are not concerts and presentations. They are acts of worship and times of worship. There are times when I may have to talk to you because he's telling me to, but there's other times when we all need to be talking to him. Don't let the enemy get you out of your supernatural state and weapon. See, life will come and try to shake your faith. But if you're praying in the spirit, it says you are building up your most holy faith. You cannot be shaken if you're built up in him. So he is also our intercessor. Jesus is sitting at the right hand making intercession. The scripture says the blood of Jesus is speaking a better thing than Abel. And to seal the deal, Holy Spirit is also interceding. So what makes you think you can fail? Every time somebody should have been a Honda's, that's intercession going up for somebody. Thank you, Lord. So he is our intercessor, our advocate, our helper, our comforter. He comes alongside us. The second verse of 16 says that he may be with you forever. Holy Spirit came and he's with you forever. He never leaves you. He's with you through the challenging times. He's with you through the good times. He never leaves. He's with you when you made a bad decision. He's with you when you make the good decisions. He's always there. David said, where can I go from your presence? He said, if I made my bed in hell, you will be there. Holy Spirit never leaves. This is why we have to be very intentional to never ask him to come. Don't say, come, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. It sounds very passionate, and it's a heart cry from the soul, but it doesn't do anything in the spirit because Holy Spirit already came. Sometimes passionate prayers sound good in the moment, but they don't do anything spiritually. And in this season, we can't fool around in the soul realm. We have to be in the dimension of the spirit. See, the enemy wants us to play around in the soul and run around and have church, good church, and go home. See, he doesn't want us to step into the realm of the spirit where we can shift and shape world events and say, not today, Satan. You're not doing this. This is before your time. Because you know that's what the enemy's trying to do. He's trying to establish the Antichrist before the scriptural time. He's trying to provoke a third world war before its time. Hallelujah. So, he's with us forever. Verse 17. He is the Spirit of truth. Meaning, he causes us to see, to know, and to be made aware of truth. When people try to lie and deceive, he would tell you to show you the truth. See, most people have thought about that as just the truth of the word. He gives us the truth of the word. I'm going to get to that in a second. But him being truth, everything around him has to reveal truth to you. And the world would try to tell you, well, if it's true for me, but not true for you, that's a lie. There's only one truth. Now, there's people's perspective and perception of truth. And there's people's ability to see how the truth applies to them and their particular circumstance. But there's only one truth. And that truth comes from God. And everything else is a lie. Now, him being the Spirit of truth, now check this. Check this, Janice. When Jesus was praying, he said, Father, your word is truth. Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the word. He is the one who takes us into the deep places in the word and helps us to understand it because he's the author of the book. This is why he never moves contrary to what is written. And this is why when people want to have these deep supernatural encounters, I tell them to start by studying the word. A supernatural encounter that's not in line with the word is divination. And some people be trying to, what can I do to ascend into the courts of heaven? How about just being intimate with Holy Spirit? And if he wants to take you there, he'll take you there. He is a spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it doesn't see him or know him. See, somebody who's in the world, who's operating from a carnal mind, cannot receive Holy Spirit because they don't know him. This is why you have to be very careful who you connect with, connect to, and build with. As you are walking out purposes and destiny, you have to discern, is this person a Cyrus who's bringing resources to help me fulfill destiny, or if they're supposed to be a collaborator? But see, and I've been warning believers that you should not collaborate with an unbeliever because then there's unequal yokeness. They can't help you build. Well, let me say it this way. They can help you build by providing resources and strategy, but they can't help you get the blueprint because they can't perceive God. Yeah, say it again. You got to start with the Holy Spirit. Yes, absolutely. We have to start with him. And then whoever he brings to come alongside us to complete the work, we allow him to do it. Because Cyrus was anointed. And it says, for the sake of my servant Jacob. But some people are running to Cyrus first. And expecting Cyrus to help them identify how they're supposed to walk out purposes and destiny. And that's unholy mixing. That's mixing the world's wisdom with the wisdom of God. We have to seek him first. Even before you seek asking a pastor or a prophet or an apostle a question. Because too many people run to the prophets before they run to the spirit of the prophet. Some people will be like, well, I know you can give me a word. What is God saying? Well, God is saying, did you go pray? Did you incline your ear? Because we are not in the old covenant where we're depending upon priests to tell us what God has said. The blood has been shed so we can all draw near, so we can all hear his voice. Now, a prophet may come and confirm or even provoke something after you have sought God. You cannot place someone a gift from God in the place of God. And I tell you that as a prophet. Don't come to me unless you pray first. I'm sorry, I love you, but maybe I shouldn't say it that way. Because your faith has to be in him, not in me. What happens if I'm unreachable? What happens if your favorite prophet is not online that day? Or didn't post nothing that month for you to hear the latest word? We seek Holy Spirit. It says it doesn't see or know him because, but you know him because he abides with you and be in you. You know him. He's in you already. The minute you accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior, he came on the inside. The fullness of the Godhead lives in you. You know him. Not only do you know him because you study the word, you know him because you have experience with him. He speaks to you. But see, what the enemy tries to do is get us to question if we heard him or if we know him. It tries to make the noise of the culture louder than his voice. The noise of our emotions louder than his voice. Which is why sometimes we have to just be still. And not empty our mind, but focus our mind on him. See, the world will tell you to empty your mind. In the kingdom, we're to meditate on the word. So it says he abides with you and will be in you. That word abide is a Greek word, meno, that means to stay. We sing a song that says stay, but we had to change some of the lyrics because we don't say, I don't want you to go. Like the lyricist wrote it. We say stay, where would we go? See, you have to be careful what you sing. Sometimes you can sing something that's contrary to scripture and it can impact your faith because faith comes by hearing. And you're singing it and you're hearing it and it's impacting how you believe and interact with God. That word abide means to stay in a giving place, state, relation, or expectancy. Holy Spirit stays and it's a given state that he's in when he's with us. He never leaves this given place or state that he's in. He's always expecting. Now, we come expecting, but can you believe that Holy Spirit is always expecting? It talks about of a person dwelling or lodging in a place, meaning he's living there. Our bodies are the temple of Holy Spirit. He lives there. It means to remain in a force, to endure. To endure forever, to be perpetual. See, the perpetual presence is always in you and on you. This is why the Lord has been having me challenge people for the past 3 weeks to simply acknowledge his presence before you do anything or say anything else. Just be like, Holy Spirit, I acknowledge your presence. It also means to remain united. Holy Spirit remains united with us forever. It means to be one with him in heart, mind, and will. See, this is part of the transforming work that he does on the inside of us. He causes our minds and our wills to be one with him. He is shaping and molding us into the image of Christ. And the more we acknowledge him, the more we spend time with him, and the more we surrender to him, he continues to shape and mold us. Verse 18. We've only done 3 verses. Jesus said that he would not leave us as orphans. And then look at the change in tense. I will come to you. He says, I will not leave you like an orphan. And then he says, I will come to you. See, an orphan during that time was considered to be defenseless. They didn't have an inheritance. And when you think about orphans now, they are without parents. They're in a system. They don't have nurture or care the way it's supposed to be. They don't have protection. Imagine this spiritually. God said, I'm not going to leave you defenseless, without care, without nurture, without a home. I'm not going to leave you in a space where you have to fend for yourself. Holy Spirit provides nurture, care, and love and keeps us in the space where we don't have to defend ourselves or fend for ourselves. Now, some people have been dealing with, and this is what I'm sensing in a moment, a orphan spirit, a spirit that makes them feel rejected, like I got to figure it out. I can only count on myself. I can't count on people. That spirit that tries to keep them from really going deep in covenant relationships. But I believe the Lord, and I want to say I believe, I know the Lord is breaking that right now. Any sense of abandonment, any sense of rejection, any sense of you feeling like you didn't fit in, all of that comes from an orphan type spirit, and the Lord is bringing freedom right now in the name of Jesus. And for some of you that think you don't fit in, I don't know who this is for, but it's for somebody, you have to understand that the Lord said that you are specifically and strategically placed to not fit in. Because you are called to be a person of distinction, and so you're going to be put in scenarios where you're not supposed to fit in because you are distinct and you're supposed to bring that distinction. You are perfectly placed to be in an imperfect place, is what I'm hearing. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. When you had like 3 minutes, it's like, okay, how do I bring this thing to a close? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Ephesians 4 and 30. Thank you, Lord. There is so much more I could say, but I need to pause it in this moment because we'll be here another 30 minutes. Thank you, Lord. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 says this about Holy Spirit. It says, don't grieve him. It says, do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. As we are walking with God, we have to be careful not to grieve him. Grieving refers to doing anything that would try to bring offense to you. See, the Holy Spirit can be grieved if we choose to do something our own way versus his way. So we don't want to grieve him, but also it says we were sealed. That word sealed is a Greek word. I'm not even going to try to pronounce it. Strong's number 4972. It means to stamp with a signet or private mark. See, most people are so concerned about not taking the mark of the beast. You need to be concerned about accepting the mark of Holy Spirit. Because trust me, everybody's going to know what the mark of the beast is. Because Satan is so prideful, he's going to want everybody to know that they got his mark in his name. So you don't have to worry about that. But it says to be marked or to be stamped with the signet ring for security or preservation. There it is again. So Holy Spirit seals you. He marks you for your protection and your preservation. So as people are walking around in fear, and as things are happening that have the potential to bring fear, you can rest in God because you are marked for your safety and your preservation by Holy Spirit. It also means to keep secret. Now, God is bringing you into the forefront. So when he's talking about keeping secret, he's not talking about people not knowing who you are. But he's talking about keeping you in the secret place. We are to dwell in the secret place of the Most High. He keeps us in the secret place where he reveals the mysteries to us and speaks the secret things of the Father to us. And he reveals to us all the things that belong to us that rightly are ours to lay hold of, not just in the next life, but in this life. He keeps us in that place. Say, I'm sealed by Holy Spirit. So to put some closure on this for today, here is the thing I want you to do, because you can't formulate Holy Spirit, even though sometimes we like to give the 2, 3-step, 5-step, 7-step. I only got one thing for you to do. Because I'm telling you, we have to cultivate a deeper relationship with him. And we have to hear him clearly. Sometimes it could be a matter of life and death, and I know that sounds very serious. But what if something is happening and the Holy Spirit tells you to get somewhere? Go get checked out. Get to the hospital. Don't go to the hospital. Call and check on somebody. See, we can't take this thing lightly. And we can't have this apathy or complacency about the voice of God of, I'll do it later. When God gives a direction, there is no I'll do it later. It's I'll do it right now. And he's not required to repeat himself. So when he says it, you got to do it. And when he gives you a revelation, you got to document it. However you document. It can't be like, oh, he'll bring it back to me. It said, the scripture says he'll bring all things to my remembrance. But if we don't capture it, then we're not showing that we are a good steward of what he said. So here's the action step. Begin each day before you say anything to anybody, before you reach for your phone to check social media or your email or your text, who texts you overnight while you are in Do Not Disturb, begin each day by acknowledging his presence. Just get up and say, Holy Spirit, I acknowledge your presence. Before you start petitioning, before you start decreeing and declaring, even before you start thanking him for what he's done, Just say, Holy Spirit, I acknowledge your presence. Let's practice. Say it with me. Holy Spirit, I acknowledge your presence. And then after that, thank him for being with you. Thank him for speaking to you. Thank him for leading you. Thank him for guiding you. And thank him for empowering you. Because we'll get to that part later. It is him who works miracles through you. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You receive that word? Thank you, Lord.